So in our gospel lesson, Jesus challenges his followers to listen for a deeper voice. In this world filled with hateful and hurtful voices, the voices of thieves and bandits, as John calls them, followers of the risen Christ are to steadily push through, listening for the Good Shepherd, going through that gate that leads to abundant life, finding the pathway of Christ beyond all the chaos of this world. And seeking such a voice leads us into community, into communion with those, which the book of Acts tells us, seek to share their lives one with another, with generous and thankful hearts, seeking always to enlarge the circle of what the book of Acts calls goodwill, reconciliation, hope. To enter into that space that we all know is here deep within us, that true space. Because deep down we all know that all people are children of God, that each and every person in their own unique way is the face of Christ. We know that deep down, in spite of all the clamor that goes on in our world. So how do we follow that Good Shepherd? How do we find that path? How do we do this? How do we hear that deeper voice? Well, there are many directions I could go with trying to explain or you know, get that across. But I thought the best way would just simply be to tell the story of one of our own parishioners. Granville Prine, to be specific. Granville Prine was born a few months before the Titanic sailed. And he died in the year 2012 at the age of 100. Gran was devoted to this church, this congregation, and its work. And as you might expect, with someone who lived to be 100, I got to visit him on many occasions. On one of those occasions, Gran Prine told me about all of the false voices of religious bigotry that surrounded him like thieves and bandits in his early life. He didn't actually say it in those words. He said it this way. He grew up as a Protestant in a Catholic neighborhood just off of Wacona Street. Growing up as a Protestant in a little minority neighborhood, he didn't much like the Catholics because they threw their weight around everywhere, it seemed. And so as a young teen, he would often be found making snide remarks about the Catholics. He attended public school, but in those days in Pittsfield, most of the teachers in public school were Catholic. And one of those Catholic teachers at his middle school, junior high school, somewhere along those years, didn't like what he was hearing from Grant. So he decided to put a stop to it. And so what he did is he got three bigger boys, took them and Gran down into the basement of the school, and told the boys to beat this kid up, to teach him a lesson, which they proceeded to do. Now let me pause for a moment. Because one thing that struck me about this story from Gran is it's very easy for us to romanticize the past. The good old days. The days when everybody behaved well and life was simpler and straightforward and calm. Everybody knew their place. People respected the law. They did what they were supposed to do. Unlike today when we have to live with all this moral relativity, all these new ideas and new behaviors and new changes. Don't you wish we lived back when it was a lot simpler? But actually, we all kind of know that beneath the surface of all that romanticism, there was a pretty vicious world at work. We still live with a lot of denial about what was going on not that many generations ago. Gran only died in 2012. We've all heard some of these stories from our loved ones or people we care about, our own stories or things we've read in the history books. Racial violence, religious bigotry, the chaos that the Gospel of John calls thieves and bandits. All that stuff was going on back then. And it was because of the steady, faithful efforts of countless souls and social justice movements that gradually we have made a dent in changing some of that, of pushing aside some of that chaos, making room for more people to be seen and heard and respected, to live into a larger world where we can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Many people beyond the walls of the church may not call it the voice of the Good Shepherd. Whatever we call it, it's that voice that means we respect and care and love one another instead of beating on each other, instead of one power group against a marginalized group. And the fact is, we need to keep listening. We need to keep responding. We need to keep pushing steadily. In this time in particular, it is so, so important right now. Which brings me back to Grand Prine down in the basement of that public school building. I remember so vividly asking Grand, what happened? Grand was not a large man. I imagine him getting pummeled very badly. Well, Grand looked at me with this twinkle in his eye. And he said, even though he was probably in his 90s by this point, he said, well, Joel, I've always been a very athletic person. And those three boys were really not all that invested in this task the teacher had given them. So I showed all three of them what for. And the teacher never pulled anything like that again. But Gran was troubled by the larger issues. He went off to college, became a soccer standout at what eventually would be called UMass Amherst. He was in the class of 1932, and there's a big mural of him in his soccer uniform because he's in their Hall of Fame. He went on to become an educator in both public and private schools, and he was a soccer coach at the old Cranwell when it was still a Catholic school. And he was also a soccer coach in some way at what we now know as Kripalu when it was a Jesuit institution. And really, as a result of soccer, he became friends with many Catholic brothers, priests, and monsignors. He worked hard through his whole life to overcome these divisions between Catholic and Protestant that were right here in the Berkshires. He wanted the church to be something more than these groups. He wanted to end the old divisions and had the sense that these old words of the Bible about being one in Christ actually should mean something. And I thought it was so cool at the end of his days when he and Jean could no longer get out, they would stay at home on Sunday mornings and watch church on television. And their favorite church services were the Baptist church across the street and a Catholic service. They watched them both and they loved them both and felt like that was their worship for the day. So why is it so hard for us to listen for deeper wisdom? Why is it we get divided up so easily when we all know better? Well, it has a lot to do with fear and anxiety, human mortality, this fact that we are all vulnerable human beings. That fear and that anxiety gets going inside of us, and it's so easy for us to quickly find a foe, find an enemy. Henry Nouwen, in his book we're going to study today, the very chapter we're going to read, tells us that the word anxiety comes from a Latin term, anguista, that means narrowing. Narrowing. To be anxious and fearful is to be in a space where the world begins to narrow, where we begin to build walls, when the gate closes, and all we hear is the clamor of suspicion. And then we do unpleasant things. Grand Prine wrestled with that all his life because he'd grown up with all that clamor. But by faith, he found a way into a larger world. The gate opened. The voice was heard. And abundant life was received for him, in his case, for 100 years. We need to keep listening. We need to keep speaking. We need to keep following the risen Christ, who calls us to push aside the voices of fear, of anxiety, of hate, and bigotry. For as far as we have come, each generation has to respond anew, because we human beings can fall backward very tragically and very quickly. We need to keep seeking that deeper voice that tells us all is well with our souls. And we do this as we share in prayer, in communion, in community, serving others, feeding our community, giving our lives in love. That's how to follow the shepherd of our souls into that larger world that we all know exists because it's in us. How do we live into it? That's the call of the gospel, the call of the good shepherd. Let us follow. Amen.